Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSCs that comes in, helps me out with your computer problem, comments, questions, and concerns. And we're here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. I know it's another beautiful day here in Connecticut on Saturday, so you got other things going on too. But if you need your technology issues talked about, feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So, Bob, what do you got for technology news you want to bring up today?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I know how much you like to save money.
Oh, yeah. So, who doesn't?
You know,
especially in this state.
And we're always talking about how much it costs for an Apple. You know, because they're, you know, what, $1,000?
Thousands.
They're more than that for some of them now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think Android has a model from Samsung
that beats
Apple.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's a foldable.
A foldable phone, yes. They tried that before, Samsung
did. But they fixed it.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's a whole video on all the fixes here.
Well, fool
we
me
have
once.
A link.
Fool me once, Bob. Really? All
yeah.
right. Okay.
Okay, but, you know, how much you want to pay for this thing?
I know the price, so you told me before the show.
$1,980, basically. $2,000. Well, with tax.
Oh, yeah.
And fees.
Forget it.
So, yeah, but it's a really cool phone.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? You can work it on one side without opening it. And
then
continue where you left off by opening it up.
Neat.
And then work from there. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? At least it's an innovation, but it is an expensive innovation. You're buying two phones, Frank. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, well, you know, you get
phones.
That big screen, so when you're watching, streaming those movies on your phone during the commute.
Let's hope you're not doing it during the commute. Your
well,
pocket.
Well, no, I'm talking about like people down on the I-95 where they take the Acela train.
Oh, gotcha.
Let's say from Boston.
Or the busway, the three people on the busway.
The people on the bus, yeah, where the wheels go around and around.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, doesn't really juxtapose, though. Maybe you have extra money if you're taking the busway. You've got enough to spend $2,000 on a phone.
Well, think of the money you're saving not driving a car.
Yes. Interesting, Bob. Well, here's some other news that might scare you guys if you're Apple users. Unpatchable. Here's what I'm telling you. Unpatchable bug in millions of iOS devices that are exploited. And this is called the Checkmate exploit. And it works on devices from the iPhone 4S all the way up to the iPhone X, according to this developer. Basically, it's software that can now be used to jailbreak your phone. And the fact that it's unpatchable is the biggest issue, because it has to do with where the boot area of the device is. It's basically deeper in the system. It's a physical problem with the bias of the system that allows it to be unpatchable.
It's not software, it's hardware.
Yeah, it's part of the boot ROM of the phone. And there's already tools out there that to jailbreak Apple devices. And this one, I guess, is a huge one. And it's literally called Checkmate, Checkm8, the number 8. And I'll put the link up here for you so you can read about it. But it could be a big problem for Apple if this is a true statement. Now, we'll see what happens. But this researcher says, he claims that this is an unpatchable problem.
So, in other words, you got to buy a new iPhone.
Right, we're part of the problem now.
That's where the problem is.
You need a little faster, a little lighter, a little thinner, new
iPhone.
You got to
buy one that's not checkmateable.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if that's going to happen in the latest rendition, but I'll put a link up here for you guys to read it. So what else you got, Bob?
Okay. Hyundai.
Yeah.
Will work with Cummins on fuel cell technology for commercial vehicles. This one is really cool.
Yeah, hydrogen power is really where the economy should go.
Right now, the focus is on simply commercializing the technology, but the future is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Hyundai isn't typically the automaker many think of when hearing of Cummins, because Cummins, as most people know, make diesel engines.
Right.
Okay. But this is 2019. Times are changing. The two companies said in a joint announcement on Friday that they've signed a memorandum of understanding, mm-hmm. not on diesel technology, but on fuel cell and electric powertrain technology.
Nice.
Okay. Cummins is best known for its diesel engines, though it's begun dipping its feet into the world of electric powertrains.
Good.
It actually debuted an electric semi-truck before Tesla.
Sure.
Hyundai, on the other hand, has dived headfirst into fuel cell powered vehicles, mm-hmm. with the Nexo crossover. It also sells the Kona EV. Combined, the two companies think they make a good couple to work on commercializing fuel cell and electric powertrain technology.
Nice.
Specifically, the new powertrains will likely combine Hyundai's fuel cell technology and Cummins' know-how regarding electric commercial vehicles. The focus right now is on North America, but whatever comes of the newly formed collaborative effort could expand easily. Both companies said they've assigned teams to work on the next generation fuel cell systems, too. Hyundai said this is a key moment to perhaps expand its reach in the North American commercial vehicle market.
Mm-hmm.
For Cummins, it's earned a well-regarded partner in fuel cell technology for large commercial vehicles. Combining fuel cells and more standard electric powertrains can help create lengthy ranges companies are used to when fueling up with diesel. Underscoring how wide this collaboration will be, Hyundai and Cummins said they are interested in things outside of the automotive market. They specifically named fuel cell powered generators as an area of interest. Notably, Toyota recently said it's installed its first fuel cell power generator in Japan to research its performance and further develop the technology. Increasingly, it seems there's room for more than just electric cars in the future. With the right infrastructure, hydrogen fuel cells seem to have a place as well. And we talked about that Toyota generator last week, I think. So we'll post for that.
Excuse me.
Well,
yeah, they're very good. I mean, I think hydrogen is the way to go, but...
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the byproduct of hydrogen?
A little bit of water.
Water.
Yeah, so you're
and it's pure water.
If you're thirsty, you're all set. Here's something Bob showed me this morning that I find kind of interesting, and it's something that might affect every website we have. Basically, there's a lawsuit happening right now with Domino's Pizza. And it all has to do with the Americans with Disabilities Act, because, of course, that act was passed in the early 90s, way before Al Gore invented the internet. Excuse me. Jeez. And there is a lawsuit happening now where Guillermo Robles has sued Domino's back in 2016 after he wasn't able to order a custom pizza from his website. Even though he was trying to use screen reading technology, he's obviously has some disability. And he's suing them for the fact that he couldn't order his custom pizza. And depending on what happens with this lawsuit, we could find every website out there having to be adjusted to fit the ADA's requirement to help folks with disabilities, which obviously we all want to do. It turns out that Americans with disabilities are nearly three times as likely to never go online, and they're also around 20% less likely to have home broadband or even own a computer, smartphone, or tablet. The technology these days is so great for folks with disabilities. And, you know, obviously the expense to do this for all your website, all of our websites out there, is going to be quite hefty. And the technology that's out there as far as what Google's doing with the assistant and what have you can greatly improve it. So if there's ways to hook all this together more easily, it's almost like we're almost there by default. Like the lawsuit may not even have to happen because we're getting there. But again, I'm coming from a non-disabled point of view, so I don't know all the troubles that everyone that has a disability has to go through to try to use the internet. So I'm obviously very ignorant when it comes to that. But I think we're getting closer and closer to really allowing for this to happen almost by default.
Well, we'll see where it goes. I mean, if companies are forced to meet the standard,
it's going to be a very expensive upgrade.
I think you could see a lot of smaller companies not having a web presence.
Right, just flipping it off.
Yep.
That's possible too, depending on the expense. But we're getting so close with being able to talk to your smart microphone in your home or talk to your phone or what have you, that we might be getting there almost by default.
That's the problem. See, these new smart technologies just are getting smarter than I am.
Well, yeah. And I would actually, for those of you out there with a hearing or a sight disability, if you have a way to call in and give us a ring and talk about how you're getting around the internet and what you try to deal with on a day-to-day basis to get things done online, what challenges you're dealing with and what you think websites should do to make them more able to serve you, please give us a ring, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'd love to hear your point of view. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock, and the lines are filling up. We have one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's get right to your calls. Paul was on first in Litchfield. What's going on, Paul?
I've got an issue with streaming TV, I guess.
Streaming TV? Okay.
I subscribe to CBS All Access.
All right, so you can watch Star Trek,
I'm on the free plan. And I am because I'm watching a quote-unquote live TV show, and right in the middle of the action, everybody freezes.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so you got the old shuttering happening and the buffering happening, right?
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes it comes back within a few seconds, and then there are other times where, last night I watched the last 18 minutes of a show just disappear because it was frozen. And what do you do about that?
All right, so let's start with this. What are you using for internet speed? What's your bandwidth? What's your download speed?
I haven't the foggiest idea.
Well, that's the first step. So you need to know what you have for bandwidth. Minimally, is it just you, or is it a bunch of folks in your home?
No, it's just me.
Just you. So you probably could get away with about 25 megabits of download speed. You don't need a lot for just one person streaming. All right, maybe let's say some in that range. Go ahead.
Who's your provider?
Optimum.
All right, so you have a cable service.
Yeah.
So you should be getting plenty of speed.
Correct.
You should do a test, speed test.
And you can do that using, just if you just Google speed test, you'll find many options out there. I use Xfinity speed test a lot. But there's tons of them out there to see what your download speed. If you're getting about 25 megabits or better, if you're getting 300 or 500, you're paying for way more than you need.
I hear you guys talking about that all the time.
Yeah, so keep it around between 25 and 50 for you. You'd be fine. I suspect with cable, like Bob said, you're getting at least that. So that's not your problem. What device are you using to view the program? Is it a smart TV? Is it a little Roku?
It's a laptop. It's a Lenovo ThinkPad model E545. And so I know all that because I'm on the laptop right now.
All right, so you're actually streaming to your computer. How old's the machine?
About a year and a half. It's,
all right.
It's a rebuild.
Oh, refurb. Okay, so it's probably about a lot older than that.
If you flip it over, well, it might not be on the back. Usually there's a date on the back. If it's not there, if it's a type that has a battery, somewhere there should be a date of manufacture or DOM.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's a refurb, typically that was a leased item that was refurbished.
Right.
So it's probably 3 to 5 years old when you got it.
Yeah.
So it may be older than you think.
And the problem with using computers, especially Windows computers, is Microsoft will say, you know what, Paul? I know you're watching a program right now, but I have to update my operating system because that's what I do right when you're trying to do something.
They work with Mr. Murphy.
Yeah. So along with you watching your program, I'm going to download a massive update to my operating system. And while you're at it, we're going to download some printer drivers and some video drivers and some useless stuff that you have no need to change while you're using your computer. Isn't that great, Paul? So that could also be affecting your performance of your computer while you're trying to watch your program.
The other thing is two things. Are you doing it using wireless or wired?
Yes. Are you connected?
I'm connected wireless.
Okay.
And then what kind of wireless access point or wireless router are you using? Are you using what they provide from the...
Yes.
All right, it's from the cable company.
Comcast or Optimum or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be back to your speed test. So if your speed test comes back and it shows you you're at 25 to 50 megabits, right?
Hovering about 24.
24. Okay, so you're right there where I thought you would be on the low end. So that's fine. I'm guessing it's your computer. All right. So in the background, while you're watching your program, your computer decided to bother you. It decided to do an update. It decided to do a service packet. It decided to do a virus scan. It decided to do some maintenance. It just decided, hey, you know what? I don't care that you're using me for something you want to use me for. I got stuff I got to do. So that's why computers in general aren't the best streaming devices.
Okay.
So you can try to turn off a lot of that updating in the background. The problem is it does have to update at some point, and it may not coincide with when you want to use it for something else.
But I seem to remember, I've been listening to you guys for quite a while, and I seem to remember particularly you saying that you decide when it's going to update because you've turned off the automatic updating or whatever or something.
I have yes. When we posted some stuff last week, Paul, about that as far as how to stop the major updates from Windows 10 from coming down. But I still can't stop the patches, the little patches they do on Tuesdays, every other Tuesday when they send out the updates. I can't really stop those, but I can stop the major updates. Actually, it's one of the reasons I was not aware of. We had a caller last week talking about the blurry login they were getting in the background of their Windows 10. That turns out that's a feature of the 1903 version of Windows 10. I didn't even know that. We thought it was a driver issue. But I've definitely prevented my machine from upgrading the major patch, but there's still minor patches I can't stop. I also can't stop my antivirus from doing its thing. I can't stop a bunch of things from happening. So it's a bad idea to try to get your entertainment from your computer thanks to Microsoft and its patching problems and all the stuff that it does. So I would counsel you to stop doing it on your computer and get a smart TV. And the smart TVs these days are very cheap. You can get probably a 30-inch TV for $300. That's probably smart TV. Just guessing, I recommend that. Because the device you want the device to be focused on purely delivering that entertainment to you. Sadly, a computer is supposed to be a tool to let you be productive. So clearly watching TV is not productive, according to Microsoft, and they're going to, in the background, they're going to update your system in the background. So...
Okay, I'm on your link page.
Yeah, the archive links from last week.
Yeah, right. I'm looking at 921. It starts out about some guy in Hawaii that hates Airbnb so much.
Yeah, exactly. Go down that list, and you'll find how to stop the updates on the Windows 10, the major updates. It's not going to solve your problem, though, Paul. Because I think you still have too much stuff happening in the background, if that makes sense.
All right, yeah, it does.
Okay, Paul.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we talk about like Paul just found out, is available over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's a name of the show.com, which also works. It's posted live by Mike G, who's listening diligently to the program and then posting the links as we go. So we'll be right back after the news. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I want to talk a little bit further about streaming your content, because cutting the cable is what everybody wants to do. And you just can't just plug in a computer. Now, again, the last caller, we suspect, had kind of an older machine that was having trouble processing the video, probably updates happening in the background. And as far as I'm concerned, the way to do streaming well is to get a device that's just designed for streaming. I've chosen the NVIDIA Shield for my streaming tool at home. I got a couple of them. They're about the size of a pack of cards. But its sole goal in life is to deliver streaming media. Nothing else. It is not going to do updates or virus scans or update to Windows, whatever, just to operate. It's just designed to stream media. And because all this is a big Rube Goldberg to get your video, right? Bob was bringing off the air, maybe the content provider was having a problem. Maybe his internet provider was having a problem. Maybe his computer's having a problem. Maybe his modem's having a problem. Maybe his router's having a problem. You have all these things just to get video content, where in the old days you just used rabbit ears and aluminum foil. Now,
grab the antenna, go stand over there.
Yeah, hey,
turn
kid.
Sideways.
Yeah, hey, kid, move it over there. That's what my dad would tell me. And so, if you try to do it now with a computer, especially an old refurbished one, you're just adding yet another massive amount of variables to get you your content. So if you think about it, going out and just buying some streaming hardware, whether it be a Roku or the Shield I'm talking about or whatever, your Amazon Fire Stick or a smart TV that has it built in, that'll eliminate some of the variables. There's still some in there, but at least there's too many variables in a computer. At least those devices are designed for the job that you're asking it to do. You'll have a better result, is all I'm saying. And when you call the internet provider, all they're going to say is, you need more bandwidth, which is utter baloney. You don't need massive bandwidth to get quality streaming.
Unless you have dial-up or old DSL.
Yeah, I would say 50 megabits is a great sweet spot for a family of five that will just pound on it all month long, like my kids did during the summer. They went back to school and they're not pounding on it as much. But let's go back to your calls. Let's go to Bob in Waterbury. Hey, Bob.
Hi, guys. Enjoy your show.
Thanks.
Not yesterday, but last Friday, they had a bunch of environmentalists across the world there squawking about shut down power plants, this, that, and the other thing.
They all walked off, right?
They should have been in school. But
School schmool. Go ahead.
But anyhow, this 15-year-old was crying. I'm too young to die. We only got 12 more years. Mm. First of all, the article they were talking about was in 1999.
Yeah,
so we're already 8 years dead.
I know.
And then another older kid that should have been in high school goes, we have to shut down the gas power plants, too. Meanwhile, they're all taking selfies. Now, where do they think they're going to get this electricity to recharge their phones?
You know what? There's so many ironies that we could talk about as far as power goes with the younger generation. They're being just totally scared.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think out in Germany or somewhere out in Europe, I forget what company, they already started shutting down all their nuclear power plants or whatever. I forget exactly where it is. And they're pushing the electric cars.
Right.
Now they're building oil plants because they have no electricity.
Well, yeah, I think we talked about it a few shows back, where I think it was Norway, where they're finding that their infrastructure is not able to handle when they all plug in their electric cars at the same time at the end of the day. It's kind of like Clark W. Griswold plugging in the lights,
Oh, yeah, the big car. That's what
all at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm all for, but right now, sun and wind is not going to push our cars down the road.
Right. We
when
need base
ready,
energy.
I'm for it. And one other thing about the environments, I went from Waterbury to Hartford just yesterday.
Yeah.
And they're clear cutting all the trees in the middle of the highway.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I create jobs.
Don't
jobs is more important than the environment.
We're cleaning the air with those trees. Where's all the tree huggers now?
Yeah. I can't speak to that. It's not really a technology issue, but
it's still cleaning our air, and they're cutting it down.
I hear you. It could have to do with them falling on our cars as we drive by, but I appreciate you chiming in, Bob.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. See ya. You know, you're frustrated out there. You know, the whole thing about electric cars and even our smartphones. Yeah, the kids don't even realize how much energy is required for them to have Facebook connecting to their phone, or if they're even using Facebook these days. It's massive amounts of energy.
In regard to man-made climate change, you know, back when I went to school.
You want to go there, really?
They got this, they talk about critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what happened to the woolly mammoth. Okay, up in Siberia, there used to be a lot of them, and a lot of them are frozen in the tundra. They've actually found them and, you know, preserved them, and they're trying to reproduce them.
All right.
Okay, but that was all grasslands, and now it's frozen.
Mm-hmm.
They had climate change long before there was any industry in the world.
I hear you.
So what happened?
I don't know.
Was it man
or
nature?
We've been spinning around for a long time. I don't want to get too deep into that because this is a technology show. We'll let Todd deal with those calls. Let's go to Gary in Berlin. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how you doing, comrade?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, well, I only call you when I have a problem. I called your office, and your nice receptionist was very nice.
Thank you.
So my nephew was over last night.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh. I can't even get on the computer.
Why'd you let him touch the computer, Gary?
I'm almost to that point.
Yeah.
But I can't get past the password.
Well, we can't help you either. What was your password, Gary?
Yeah.
Ah, almost.
It was.
Yeah.
But it ain't now.
Yeah, right. So you need to bring it to a shop that handles the general public. They can use tools.
Call one of these 800 people and have them do it over the phone.
They can't do it over the phone.
They can't. They need access to your machine physically.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you lost your password, you locked yourself out of your computer, you need to bring it to a local shop that'll use tools to allow to reset it.
Now, the one question I would have before you do that is, a lot of people have more than one user account on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that it says the user account you were using. Because if they switched users,
It could be something silly.
You might be just trying to type in your password, and it's not the same user account you were using.
Right.
So I would check that.
That could be because it's a different picture on the.
You got a different user.
All right. So go change your user. So in the right there, you should be able to.
How do I do that?
There's a little arrow to the right where you can choose the user.
But actually,
you have a better way to do it.
Well,
it says power. Ease of access.
No, not the far right, but underneath the login area, you can choose different.
Well, he may not be getting there because it may be locked.
No, I'm locked.
Great. So what you want to do
is my puppy dog when it comes on.
Okay, so what you want to do is somebody logged in under a different user account
and locked it.
So hit Control Alt Delete. It'll bring you up a menu and it'll say Switch User.
Right.
And those are my favorite three buttons.
That's the Microsoft three-finger salute.
Yeah.
I just pushed them 100 times. It doesn't do a thing. Nope.
Well, it's Control-Alt-Delete. You don't push them all at the same time. It's like Control-Alt-Delete.
It doesn't do anything.
All right, so your machine is maybe out to lunch. You want to power it down, try to shut it down, and bring it back up again. But the idea is you want to get to the login where it says Switch User so you can choose the proper user because that little picture you're seeing is a different user to Bob's point.
How about that button you guys used to tell me about, F12 or something, you keep flicking, and it goes to
Safe that'll go into safe mode. Yeah, you could do that, too.
It used to be F8, but that,
in
F8.
In Windows 10, that doesn't work anymore.
Is this 10?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
No.
What is it?
What you got to do now is you go to the start button.
Yeah.
You hold down the shift key.
Yeah.
You click on, you know, the start shutdown.
Yeah.
And while you're holding the shift key down, then when you go and reboot, it'll bring you up to the screen that gives you the option to go into your. They took that F8 key away.
I haven't had to do it on my machine. It's not top of mind. Interesting. Do you have to, like, hop on one foot while you're doing it?
Yeah.
Guys, which one's the shift key? Oh, I see. Jesus.
It's next to the any key.
I never push that button.
You never work in caps. You're never.
Oh my God!
You never...
No. If I do that, case. People think I'm yelling at them.
I know. We can put a link up there, Gary.
Gary, TIC telephone number.
Yeah.
And I kept getting an emergency helpline.
Oh, that's a different number.
I know.
We'll put a link up there, Gary, for how to get into safe mode on Windows 10.
Yeah, thanks a lot. After I buy my new computer.
keep your nephew off your machine. That's the best advice.
Chain him to the outdoors.
There you go.
Oh, you know why kids are all screwed up now? I mean, the politicians, too.
Yeah.
They're watching too many of these new movies and TV shows coming out.
Oh,
then they're all predicting the end of the world.
The amount of content that's out there that is just scary stuff is...
Oh, it's all negative.
Ugh. It is crazy. There
what
was
happened
this
riding the horse to school.
What happened to Ponderosa, right, Gary?
Oh my God, I still watch
Bonanza.
The
Bonanza. Oh, that's what it was. You knew what I was talking about. Bonanza. They were on the Ponderosa, right?
The whole group of 12 is on the Ponderosa.
You know what was kind of funny? You bring that up. They used to say maybe 10 or 15 years ago that Looney Tunes was too violent for kids to watch.
they got rid of the Rifleman.
Yeah, well, right, but now with the stuff they watch now, I mean, oh my gosh!
Well,
I mean,
got rid of the Rifleman because he
was
using
one. Have an AK-47 now.
Yep, and it'd be on Amazon. All right, we got to go, Gary.
Okay, take care, guys. Right,
you too. Bye bye. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and we're talking about technology, of course. And I don't know if you guys saw this story, but this cracked me up. I'll get to your calls in a real quick second here. But in California, a police officer's Tesla, just the fact that I'm saying this, police officer's Tesla, why would any town be able to afford Teslas to be put into your fleet? Give me a break. Number one, but a police officer's Tesla ran out of battery power in the middle of a high-speed chase in California. Guys, really? Of course they did, right? I mean, there's no chargers near the Dunkin' Donuts. Just kidding. Just kidding. But the point is, they hit speeds of 120 miles an hour, and the cop radioed ahead that he would have to drop out of the pursuit. I'm down to 6 miles of battery life, he said on his Tesla. Guys. Why? It's the wrong tool for the job. It's a cool car, yes. But as a police officer, you can't hope your battery's charged for the next pursuit. What is he going to do with the next pursuit? I'm sorry, I got 40 minutes here, guys. I got to charge it up before I can save the next person. Really? Really? This is how you're going to run your police station? That's just crazy.
California, come on. You know? It's a good idea. Look at the money. There's the they're saving the planet. Sorry,
but not me. If I need help, sorry, I couldn't get to your house, Eric. Our Tesla ran out of juice. Couldn't save you. Well, thanks. You were not quite the first responder. You're like the 15th responder. You know, some guy in a scooter came up faster than you did in your dead Tesla because it had no juice. That just seems so beyond stupid. I can't even tell you. I mean, come on. A battery powered.
Well, some bureaucrat made that. Thought it would be cool.
Yeah, it's very green. And that's nutty. Where are the green police when you need them? Let's go to William in Hartford. Hey, William.
Good morning, guys. The Tesla in California is an example of more money than brains.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But what I wanted to ask you, my wife and I sit at our kitchen table, each with an iPad.
Yeah.
We're about 40 feet as the crow flies to... And a Netgear router,
nice,
which is connected to an Aris modem.
All right.
The hardwired PC where the modem and router are runs in the 60s, according to Ookla.
Oh, for download speeds?
Run the same speed test on the iPad, we get anywhere from 1.5 to 10.
Oh.
Yeah. Are there Wi-Fi extenders that would work on that? Is there another solution?
Well, do this.
I tried to figure out how to run the Ethernet cable around my house, but I'd have to use a chainsaw, so that's no good.
Well, William, when you go right up against that Wi-Fi, when you bring your iPad right to the Netgear, you said it was, right?
Well, yeah. What model is it?
It's probably an older one.
R6080 Netgear router. It's about 8 months old.
Ooh, only 8 months.
Yeah.
All right. How old's your iPad?
3 or 4 years.
We've had these stories before from callers where their iPads are just poorly performing on wireless. If you only have an 8-month-old Wi-Fi at 40 feet, it should easily cover that.
So, what band are you connecting to? 2.4 or
2.4.
Okay, that gives you more range, but it gives you less bandwidth.
Right, but it's not going to give him one. It's going to give him probably like 30.
Right. So my
wife went on Ookla with her iPad this morning, and she got on separate attempts got results anywhere from 1.5 to 9 and a fraction.
Okay. Do you have a 5 gigahertz radio in your iPad? Do you have a way to choose the 5 gigahertz band versus the 2.4, or do you only see the 2.4?
Settings?
Yeah, I can go to the 5.
Yeah, go to the 5. It'll give you more bandwidth. It'll give you less range, but you're only 40 feet away.
40 feet, you shouldn't have a problem.
Right. So connect 5 gigahertz. That should give you the optimum wireless ability of your connection there.
And then protocol are you using?
We have the password for Netgear.
Potato. Tell me, is there some kind of extender like you see ads for those Google things and stuff?
You don't need an extender 40 feet away.
And I don't recommend extenders anyway. I would just put in a...
Okay.
Yeah, 40 feet is nice and close. I mean, you're not dealing with any kind of real distance. Most access points will give you about a 200-foot bubble. Right. So you should be fine at 40 feet. I think it's your iPad because...
There's something else going on.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got an 8-month-old... Netgear router, it's got all the latest technology. Your iPad may have some issues with its ability to connect wirelessly, but you're both having the same problem at that 2.4.
What version of iPad do you have? Like one of the earlier ones?
No, it's an Air.
Okay. And it's not that old, you said? Only a couple of years old?
No, they're probably 4 years old.
Okay. Choose the 5 gigahertz range for your Wi-Fi and connect that way on the 5 gigahertz band. And do a speed test again.
Interestingly, that option is not coming up on the choose.
It's up on mine, but I don't know the password.
All right. Well, we'll try that, and we're going out to Apple to yell at them later anyway, so we'll see. Take those iPads with us and see what happens.
Yeah, you can test it there.
You may be able to log into your router and see what the password is.
Yeah. Right.
No, we have the password.
Good. Yeah, if you bring your iPads to Apple and try to connect to there and see what their speed is, then you'll prove whether your iPad has the issue or there's something back in your home giving you a problem.
Right. Okay. Great, guys.
What could it be in the house?
Yeah.
Not in the. It'd be the router itself. It could have an issue for whatever reason, not delivering the bandwidth that you're supposed to be getting over the Wi-Fi. Right. 2.4 gigahertz is going to give you a nice fat connection as well as 5 gigahertz. Much better than 9.
Right.
Much better than 9. So you should. That's where you'd figure out where the problem lies. So test it at the Apple Store.
Great. Thanks so much.
You got it, Bill.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, Tesla and your police force.
Well, you know, why pay, you know, $50,000 or $60,000 for a patrol car when you can pay like $100,000 or $90,000?
Yeah. I'm sure it was some government, you know, deal where we paid for it. I'm sure somehow we in Connecticut have paid some portion of that Tesla vehicle for those folks in California. But that's just, I just can't believe it.
But we're so generous here in this state.
I know. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We have two lines open for you. Everything we talked about has been posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you go to Facebook and like us at Tab Computer Systems and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it'll get into your news feed. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter if you really have time for that over at Tab Computer Sys. It'll get into your news feed as well. We'll be right back.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.